Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
Now, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Let's take it from the top.
Hello, good morning. It's Tuesday. It's still a little snowy. Some roads are good, some roads are bad. Hope you have been safe and are staying warm this morning. Amy Marks Kors with you alongside Christopher Ronji. Hello, Ronj.
Hello, friends.
Good to talk to you again. Oh, we're doing great. We are thriving. We're thriving right now.
That's what I hear.
Yep. If you are listening to us on 1120 AM, you might want to check out 98.7 FM. Very clear. If you want crystal clear, uninterrupted listening to your favorite show, The Chris and Amy Show, and KMOX in general, go to the Odyssey app, download the Odyssey app, favorite the KMOX page. That is also where you can leave us a voice message on the page. There's a microphone icon. You can click that, leave us a voice message. We got a gazillion texts yesterday, which was awesome. We still want to hear from you. We will be soliciting your input. You can call or text us at 314-436-7900. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Some really disturbing body cam footage showed some St. Louis police officers walking away from a man who was dying of a self-inflicted gun wound in Forest Park. This was back in September. KMOV Channel 4 was able to get that body cam footage on this shocking incident.
Also, some of the roads are very bad still, apparently, in the St. Louis area. We want to hear from you. Let us know what your experiences are. 314-436-7900. Send us a text.
And your St. Louis Blues face the Minnesota Wild tonight. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Let's get right into this story, Ronj, with the body cam footage that pretty disturbing. And again, it's 2025. I said last year the footage is from 2023, from September of 2023. But this story has been ongoing as more information coming out about what exactly these two police officers did. Just to kind of recap what happened, and again, this was from KMOV that obtained the body cam footage. It showed two St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers walking away from a victim who was still breathing and suffering from a gunshot wound to the head. And according to the audio in this video, they did not want to take the call from this victim because one of the guys was getting off his shift in 30 minutes. So this is from September 10th, 2023. It shows the response by former police officers Austin Frazier and Ty Warren. They were responding to a 911 call placed by a man who said he was planning to take his own life. The officers went to where he was, where the call was. They discovered him beneath a tree on the east side of Forest Park. He was still breathing with a gunshot wound to the head. And then in some of this audio that we have here, Warren can be heard telling Frazier that the man is still alive and they need to transport him. But Frazier replied, "I don't want to take this call because my shift ends in 30 minutes.
We're about to take this motherfucker, Dan.
We ain't taking this shit.
I ain't taking 30 minutes. Let's cruise around and come back."
So that's what they did. The body cam video shows them walking away from the man who was still breathing, but barely. Then more officers show up to find this guy beneath the tree. That's when the original two, Warren and Frazier, return to Forest Park as if it's the first time that they've seen this scene. The third officer, the one who discovered the body after not knowing that Warren and Frazier had already discovered it, that third officer, thinking he was the first officer there, called EMS and took all the appropriate action.
I think all of us have been in a job before where, you know, maybe like you got a part time job, right? And you're getting off work in a half hour and you're like, oh, God, please, I don't want to have to go do this. This is, or you work at a restaurant and a table shows up 30 minutes before you close. I get being annoyed by that. This is different. This is you are a public servant. It is your job to help people, even if you're about to get off work. This is, as to me, outrageous of a police action as I think I've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fully understand not wanting to continue your job past your hours, but this is different. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that here.
Yeah, no. And again, to be clear, both of these officers have been let go. They no longer work in the St. Louis Police Force. The St. Louis Police Department spokesperson, Mitch McCoy, said that both Warren and Frazier no longer work in the St. Louis Police Department. He also praised the actions of the other officers who did what they were supposed to
do. Their jobs.
Yes, they did. They did their jobs. And this incident was first found by First Alert 4, who had just been going through routine filings of the police department. That's when they found the cases of Warren and Frazier this fall. It was just literally a routine search of administrative hearing commission filings. And then a reporter made an open records request in October for the body cam footage that was fulfilled on December 18th. So that's why we're just now finding this story. It would not have been discovered, but yes, from at 6:13 p.m. in Forest Park, where the victim made the 911 call, 6:26, so 13 minutes later, Warren and Frazier, the two former officers, arrived at Forest Park, found his body. Then they left to, as we heard in the audio, to take a few loops. At 6:34, the third officer arrived, the third officer believing he was the first. And then at 6:38, the original two returned to the scene and pretended like it was the first time they had heard it.
I suppose the good thing here is that this wasn't necessarily hidden from anybody. These two officers were handled instead of trying to protect them. Because I think we've seen a lot of times where police do, they commit some acts they should not. And then it always feels like the union apparatus or the rest of the rank and file fall behind them and try to protect them or try to cover up whatever happened. That seems to happen a lot. I'm glad that didn't happen here. I'm glad these two were relieved of duties or whatever happened. When I saw that yesterday, I was like, there's no way. There's no way they did this. And I understand, you know, there are times you just don't want to deal with certain actions. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the job, is it not?
Well, yes.
It's the job. It's not easy work. It's tough work. It's dangerous a lot of times, and you're going to see some messy stuff, but you have to handle it.
Yeah, and this story, again, as they mentioned, more information coming out after they requested those open records, but reporters Pat Pratt, Lauren Traeger, and Matt Woods had worked on this story called Reckless Disregard. And this story of what happened in Forest Park, the man who killed himself in Forest Park, was along with another story about a woman who was asking for help and some police officers did not help her. This was like 200 miles south, more rural Missouri. And they were saying, we see police officers being reprimanded, let go, or prosecuted for certain actions, right? Like if it's brutality or whatever it may be. They said, while these two officers don't work in the police department, taking legal action against police officers for non-action is much harder than legal action for an act of brutality or violence. Like it's hard to...
It's tough to go after negligence.
Right. So most likely, it sounds like they may pursue criminal action against these two police officers, but very, very difficult to do that for non-action.
Also, it should be disqualifying from doing that job anywhere else ever again.
Yeah.
You should never get to be allowed to do that job. It doesn't matter what city, what township, wherever you end up. You shouldn't be allowed to do that work anymore. And I know that there is a difficulty, and, you know, we've talked to when Jay Greenberg was the special agent in charge of the St. Louis field office of the FBI. One of the things they do is they monitor police actions, and if they're doing things they're not supposed to, that's part of the job of the FBI. And how difficult it is for police departments around the country to know about you if mm-hmm. you have done something wrong in another jurisdiction, some other municipality, that there isn't a database. There isn't a database that says, hey, this guy left a suicide victim to die because he didn't want to stay beyond his 30-minute shift that was about to end. There's no database for that. So it's difficult to weed out people like that. So I just hope that neither of these officers end up anywhere else doing this work because they don't deserve it.
Yeah, no, pretty awful, and just someone who needs help reaching out to the authorities for help and not getting it is pretty awful. I don't know how you live with yourself. Okay, later on in the show, though, I do want to mention yesterday, Ranjas, you know, your hometown, we talked to the mayor of Granite City about the blocked merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel. Later on, we'll be chatting with Scott Linsicum. He's the vice president of general economics at the Cato Institute. He's also a professor over at Duke. He's got some thoughts on that blocked merger. We'll talk with Bernie Miklas as we do. And later on this hour, Carrie Hannon, a senior columnist for Yahoo Finance, she had a story yesterday. What do people regret the most when they retire? And I'm like, this is something that I should pay attention to. I feel like I'm an example.
How about their entire career choice?
Life, just my entire life.
Is all of it on there?
Everything from career choice to the jeans I bought. I just nothing but regret. So that's going to be a riveting conversation. We also want to hear from you. I want to get those road reports because a lot of the ancillary roads, I don't know, even the main thoroughfares like Olive and Crevecoeur and Lindbergh are pretty bad. So we want to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Text or call. This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Cold winter, plenty of ice and snow.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. We would love to hear your road reports, 314-436-7900. You can call or text. We have a 618 that is traveling from Bon Terre, Missouri to 255-270 on State 67, and I-55 is relatively clear. Left lane has patchy ice spots, but the right is clear and dry. Thank you for the update.
Bon Terre's where my people are, you know.
Is that where Ranji Road is?
I think it is.
Isn't there a Ranji Road?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Bon Terre. There's a that's where all the original Ranjis settled.
Yeah, Bon Terre. Those
Frenchmen, those French people.
Yeah, that's where they were. Well,
that's right.
You could get there now. Because it looks like, according 55? To the 618, that the roads are pretty clear.
Excellent.
Okay. We were talking about all of the Good Samaritans and the community helping each other, strangers helping strangers. And yesterday, and we've got some of those stories. I know Matt helped a stranger. I was helped out. I helped someone out. But
you
here,
did?
I did. Oh, my gosh. We both did. I have blisters on my hands. I know, because a neighbor of mine, in the area, I don't know them. I didn't know it was a neighbor, but maybe it was a friend, but it was near me. Their car got snow plowed in, you know, where it's like the four foot wall. And there were three of them standing there with one shovel and just looked absolutely defeated, like shoulders slumped, just staring at it. You know how you do that. You just stare. And I was like, I can help. Let me help. And so we shoveled. I bet. Last night, after shoveling in the morning, I shoveled for like 90 minutes to 2 hours last night, and I'm pretty sore.
I am so proud of you.
Oh my gosh, okay, I gotta say this. Yesterday morning, I talked about it on air. I live in a gully, like the back alley where I have this really tight turn to get in my tiny little garage. I mean, it's tight without snow. To put it in perspective, here's all you need to know. 30 yards to the left, 30 yards to the right to get to the streets. But in the middle, where my garage is a giant drain. That's what you need to know. That's where all the snow, all the ice is draining. So my four-wheel drive was stuck for like 90 minutes yesterday. So I was shoveling. Mason Jar drove out a snowblower. I shoveled the whole, square little driveway section around my garage, which was full of snow, really drifty snow. And then he was using the snowblower up and down the alley to make two tracks so I could get out. So again, probably worked total 3.5 hours on this thing. I told my landlord, and they said, oh no, that back alley, we don't own that. It doesn't get snowplowed, but we've never heard of anyone having trouble. And I think, well, maybe the 6 other people that live in my building don't need to go anywhere, but I had trouble. Guess what they did? They said for my extraordinary efforts, they sent me a credited $100 to my account.
Who did this?
My landlord.
What?
Because I spent almost 3.5-4 hours shoveling so that other tenants could get out. And it's not their road. Like, they don't, it's owned by a different building. They just, that building gives us access to it. So I said, here's what I did. They have snow melt in the garage. I go, I used a lot of your snow melt. I hope that's okay. We brought a snowblower. I said, I think people can get out now. So they wasn't that crazy?
That's your landlord gave you $100 for being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
My landlord keeps raising prices.
No, my landlord is amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, but they did. He goes, for your extraordinary efforts, thank you. Because it's not their road to care for. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't pay for that. That's a different building.
Look, you know, we've talked about snow and how disappointed I was. And I was just resigned to the fact we were going to get none of it before Christmas,
and
how much I wanted it to happen. There are two things about this snowstorm. One, digging your car out sucks. It's the thing about it that is the, for me, it's the mm-hmm. only unappealing thing mm-hmm. is having to dig out the car. Otherwise, I love it. I love the idea of it. But also, I get very annoyed with post-Christmas snow.
Why?
Because I want it to happen before.
Well, that's true. And we did have a little bit in November, but don't you think now it's fun?
It's almost like showing up 12 hours late to the party.
It's extending.
Everybody's
Christmas.
Packing up and going home and like, hey, guys, I'm here. Snow's here.
It could be that, but you're packing up and then the snow shows up and is like, I'm buying another round.
Okay. Well, all right, there you go.
And you're like, hey, yay, whoa, buddy. I think that's what it is. Okay, I was a little hurt that you were surprised that I shoveled snow.
I can't believe it.
My mother, Mrs. Marksgris, texted in, you shoveled snow? ? Unbelievable. I'm so proud of you.
See, it's not just me.
Why are people it's not surprised? Just me. First of all, I'm not good at manual labor. I have blisters, and then the palm of my hand is like bruised where the shovel was because there was so much ice. You know, you're like breaking up the ice first. Did you hear what Matt Pajeski did? And again, we'd love to hear your stories, 314-436-7900. He had to work hard to get his shovel.
Yeah, because my car was stuck in the parking lot, and I really needed a shovel, and I didn't want to bother any of my friends. I wanted to be independent. I walked to Home Depot, which is about a mile away from me.
He walked a mile.
King's Highway. Come on. I bought my snow shovel, and Home Depot was packed, by the way, with people doing the same thing that I was doing, buying a snow shovel, and walked back and spent probably a good hour shoveling myself out of the parking lot and helping out some neighbors.
Oh, buddy, good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys really did some nice stuff for people while I was away.
I know.
I'm so impressed with both of you.
Well,
now let me tell you what I did.
Okay.
So I helped a guy out of a snowbank. And then I stole his car.
You carjacked him? So this happened.
This is nuts.
This happened
this story
in the Central West End, guys. He's not joking. A 32-year-old man was robbed at gunpoint by a stranger on Sunday after the stranger helped him get his vehicle freed from the snow. According to the police, the man reported that his vehicle became stuck in the snow while he was trying to enter the Park Frontenac apartment garage in the Central West End. But a stranger in an SUV helped him get his car freed from the snow.
What a nice thing to do.
What a great thing. After the 32-year-old man parked his car in the garage, the same male stranger approached him, pointed a gun at him, and demanded the man to give him his car keys.
It's not funny. This is my neighborhood.
Okay.
So it's a little close to home for me.
Sure.
Where this happened. But I guess in a way it's he did the right thing, the carjacker, because he waited to dig the car out first. Because if you ask for the keys first and the car is stuck, what are you going to do? Get away?
Right.
Honestly, oh, by the way, give me your keys and will you help me dig the snow out?
That's 100%. That's what I would have done. I would have stolen the car and been like, oh, I guess I should have dug out the car first and then stolen
it. I didn't think this through. But here's what I don't understand is why the car, so that he calls the police, the person who had his car carjacked, in quotations, lets the police know. They show up and the car's not gone. It's still there.
I think the guy was going to come back later and steal it.
Well, if it was in a parking garage, maybe he just could not figure out how to get out of the garage. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I don't know. It makes sense that he realized when I stole this guy's key, I probably should have also stolen his little fob, the key fob to get out in and out of the garage.
He probably didn't know how to get out.
Yeah.
So he just left it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know if it was just a little arm gate or if it was a whole garage door. So you're right. I think he stole the car in spirit, but had to leave it there. I hope he throws the keys back in the garage. No harm, no foul.
Well, if he really wanted to ruin that guy's day, you just keep the keys.
I know. He just loves car
keys. It is
keys.
Such a pain to get a whole new set of keys.
He was key jacked, not carjacked. The guy just wanted the keys. Yeah, it is a pain. Hey, joining us next, Carrie Hannon, senior columnist for Yahoo Finance. What do people regret most when they retire? A lot. It's the Chris
All
and Amy Show on KMOX. Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you on a snowy Tuesday. Ronj, I saw this story from Yahoo Finance yesterday, and the headline is what grabbed me because I'm worried. I'm not sure I'm where I need to be. I'm actually pretty sure I'm not where I need to be. And the headline is, what do people regret the most when they retire? And I feel like you said, it is everything. I regret everything.
Is all of the above an option?
Is all of the above an option? Well, I've got the person that we can ask, a senior columnist for Yahoo Finance, and that is Carrie Hannon. She's also a career strategist and an expert on retirement and entrepreneurship. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
All right. So both my co-host, Chris Ronji, and I are a bit worried that we're not where we need to be. and this headline, I just
Can we move in with you? That's the first question.
That's right.
well, join the party. I mean, it is, it's kind of a frightening time for many people when they get to retirement. And as you were just saying, it's like, what do they regret? Lots of things. But truly, the number one thing, and this is no surprise, is that they regret they didn't really take saving for retirement seriously early enough. That's pretty easy to kick it back, right? There's lots of other things to spend money on, and it seems so far in the future that it's hard to get your hands around it.
Yeah, you mentioned in your story that less than 25% of retirees are very confident that they will be able to maintain a comfortable lifestyle throughout their retirement. The estimated median household savings among retirees, excluding home equity, is $71,000. So how much money should retirees have, and how concerned are you about this low number, 1 in 4?
Yeah, I mean, it is a little daunting. And frankly, it's like oftentimes when you ask people how much they should have saved for retirement to live comfortably, right, they absolutely look like deer in headlights. They have no idea, and they kind of throw a dart, they guess. And so, for each person, it's individual how much you're going to need. But truthfully, your expenses in retirement are not going to drop down as radically as you might think, as, from what they are today, or right prior to retirement, I should say, depending on your age, you have a lot of other expenses, perhaps. But you certainly want to be able to move forward with, roughly what you were spending pre-retirement.
It is. The numbers are pretty stark when you ask or poll people whether or not they feel like they have enough in retirement. that they can be comfortable. And it's more than half when you include everybody. I think that includes not just people close to retirement, but people who are millennials, Gen Z, Gen X, that a lot of these folks feel like they just have not saved enough. And many people feel like they couldn't in the moment save because they needed every last dollar to live. So for somebody who is in that boat, who says, look, I'd love to have saved more money when I was 30, but I feel like I needed every bit of my income to live.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you need to, you know, but to whatever age you're at, you can still do this. You can take control. And a lot of saving, the secret to really saving successfully is to automate it, right? So from each paycheck you get, just carve some out of that, even if you aren't working for an employer that has an employer-provided retirement account, like a 401k, if you can have an IRA or something, an individual retirement account, that you just automatically put it aside each paycheck, pre-tax, you really don't even notice that. And it's hard to imagine, but it's true. If it's out of sight, out of mind, you get it rolling. And it's establishing that habit. And so I think the best thing to do is really get disciplined and focused on what you can do right now, even if you start small and then slowly ramp up how much you set aside. But as you said, if you're very close to retirement and you're looking back with regret and saying, why didn't I? You know, cut yourself a break. It is a tough time. A lot of people, you know, we're in charge of our own retirement savings now, and not many people are really up to date with financial literacy and understand investing and all of those things. It just is kind of mind blowing. So I think that it's okay, but it's time to sit down and make a plan. It's never too late to do that plan. And I like advising people to work with an advisor, a fee-only advisor, if they can. It's an important thing to have an unbiased person really look at everything, the holistic look of what your retirement budget looks like, how much you have saved, and all the different categories. It's not just straight money and investments. It's your home and all kinds of other things that you might have around you. But there are also some other regrets besides not saving enough that I discovered with people in my column.
What are some of those main regrets other than not saving enough? Because that, I mean, and you said like starting saving too soon. That's such a big one. What are the other ones?
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, money certainly is the big one. You hear people wringing their hands about, but there are other things that happen, and when they look back, and I think these are cautionary tales for people who haven't retired yet, right? To pay attention to. They feel like they tapped their Social Security benefit too soon, and they turned on those checks earlier than they needed to or should have to get the biggest bang from them. There are lots of psychological reasons behind that. In some cases, people actually do need that money right then, and I totally get that. But for folks who can wait, initially, you can start accessing your Social Security benefit at age 62. But if you can wait to your full retirement age, which is usually 66 or 67 as we move forward. But if you can get to 70 at each of those marks, that check gets bigger. And if you can wait between your full retirement age and age 70, it jumps up 8% a year, the amount of your check. And that's then for the rest of your lifetime. So with people living typically longer lives, if you can afford to hold off as long as possible to dip into Social Security, you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck there. And that's a really great thing for people to keep in mind. But psychologically, I think a lot of people say, it's my money, I want it now, and I don't really know what's going to happen with Social Security, right? So that's an understandable one.
As you said, financially, that is the number one thing, and anything related to finances is the number one regret that a retiree has, because that's, you know, it's you have a finite amount of time to earn money in your lifetime. And if you don't feel like you've done enough, that affects everything, right? But sometimes it's just about time itself. Did you find that people are or wished that maybe they had retired a little sooner so they could have done the things they wanted to do if they had the luxury to do them?
Yeah, I think, gosh, that's such a good question. There's like two schools of thought on that. I found a lot of people that wish that they had retired later because of mostly the financial piece of it, but also working, it really isn't always such a bad thing because it provides a network, a social network. Psychologically, it gives you a sense of being relevant and needed, and it gives you all kinds of health benefits of use it or lose it, right? So there is this sense that sometimes people wish they had stayed in longer because they love what they do and because they also need the finances and the financial end of it and all the good things that come with that. But you're right. There are some people that say, gosh, you know, I wish that I had stepped off earlier and really been able, because we don't know how long we're going to live, and really been able to take advantage of a life, of each day in my life, and not been working this whole time. So there is, you know, that some people who absolutely love what they do, and that really does make them happy. And others just say, hey, I've done this, now it's time to move on. So I think you raise a good question there. But I think it's important for people, this is a retirement is something that is a word I'm not a big fan of, because it's like you're stepping back and stepping out of life in a way. But people need to think about, when they retire, what are you retiring to? You know, so take the time before you step out of the workplace to say, you know, what are the kinds of things I want to do at this stage of my life? What's going to bring me joy? Is it, you know, friends and family? Is it traveling? Is there a hobby that I've had to, you know, forget doing because I was so busy working? But it's really, sometimes people get to the end of that and they lose their social network. Their routine changes and they no longer feel valued, and they kind of can get depressed. So I think it's really important to have a plan. So if you think you can step out early, by all means do it, but have a plan of where you're going to.
This is, we're talking with Carrie Hannon, senior columnist for Yahoo Finance. Carrie, what about debt? How do you know if you're retiring with too much debt? And is there some kind of ratio or algorithm that you should look for?
Oh, boy. You know, again, that's tricky to come up with a hard number. But what I will say is that debt is a dream killer. And almost if you can do anything leading up to your, you know, retirement years to really whittle down that debt, get financially fit, really work on getting those credit card debts down and so forth, because while you're still earning, because this is something that is just going to really, you know, linger with you as you move into your retirement years and you're not earning. And I think that, you know, I think it is also something to note, to be fair, that some people said in one of the surveys I looked at for this column for Yahoo Finance was, you know, nearly half of them said that their debt was a stumbling block that prevented them from saving for retirement. So again, it's something that having outstanding debt when you retire can really trip you up. And so I think that's something that we have control of if we can start early to whittle it down before we retire, so that it does free you up to be able to spend on the things that you really want to and that will enhance your life.
Carrie, we actually have a listener who called in, has a question, I believe, about Social Security. Aggie, go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if this is an answer you can help me with or a question. When I signed up for Social Security, I was 62. I was ready to do that. And I did not sign up for prescription D. And they did not tell me that if I didn't sign up right away, I would have to pay penalties for the rest of my life. I was not on any medications. I was healthy. But now I find out 2 years later, I have to pay a penalty for the rest of my life because I did not take that out. Is that something you can help me with or give me an answer to? Why that has to be like that?
Thank you, Aggie. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Yeah, that comes under the old Medicare umbrella. So that's something that there are places you can turn to for help to try to, you know, tease that out and kind of find out what your possibilities are now, because the Part D really does come with your Medicare coverage, which generally isn't until age 65. So I would need to know a little more about your specific situation, but there are some very good outlets there that you can look to find some Medicare help with that and your Part D.
We also, or you mentioned in your column that there were There is a little bit of good news, though, that a lot of this feels overwhelming to people, especially as you're getting closer to the retirement age, that maybe you haven't done enough or you've made some mistakes. Was there good news in what you were able to find?
Yes, I love it. You're a person after my own heart. I always try to find the glass half full kind of perspective here. And so,
oh,
yes,
me too. Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
Oh yes, he is known as Mr. Yeah. Positive.
Yeah, big positive guy.
Well, I love it. So yeah, in fact, you know, retirees in this one particular study I looked at with Transamerica said that, you know, in general, retirees are happy and they have close relationships with their family and their friends, and they have a pretty positive view of aging. And I will say I found an earlier Gallup study that came out last year that said the same thing. They said, you know, people worry so much that they're not going to have enough money in retirement but you know what, when they actually get to retirement, and they interviewed those same people after they retired, and a couple of years after they retired, And everything was fine. It's almost like we adjust, right? Like there's so much anticipation of the unknown as you lead up to retirement. And sometimes when you get there, you know what? Hey, it's really quite good. And that they are enjoying spending time with friends and their, you know, health is better than they expected. But again, it's really important to lay that groundwork, you know, stay physically fit as you move towards retirement, get financially fit as you move toward retirement. So I think that's really important for people to realize that there's some great years. You've got a lot of runway ahead of you. And my gosh, if you retire even at 65, you could very well have almost, you know, two plus decades, maybe three decades ahead of you. So what you can do to be healthy and fit and financially secure can really provide a stretch of living that is something we can all look forward to.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for your time. This has been awesome. We would love to have you on again. I know we've got more questions. Our listeners do as well. So we'd love for you to join us again.
Well, thank you. You two are terrific. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. That is, or start saving.
Now?
Help! Carrie Hannon, senior columnist for Yahoo Finance. She's also a career strategist and an expert on retirement and entrepreneurship. She was awesome. We'll have more questions for her in the near future for sure. He's Chris Ronji. I'm Amy Mark-Scores. Did You See This is next. Ronj, I don't know if you saw this, but Donald Trump Jr. is in Greenland. Now, this trip comes on the heels of Donald Trump Sr., the president-elect, saying that the United States should buy Greenland. He called it an absolute necessity that the U.S. acquire that Arctic territory. Of course, he also made this proposal back in 2019 during his first term. The Danish Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, said today, in response to U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's offer to buy Greenland, he said, "It is not for sale. Greenland is not for sale and will not be for sale in the future either. I think we should buy it. I like it."
Yeah,
I like Greenland.
I would like to know what... Yeah, I've heard it's nice.
Well, it's icy. Because remember the Mighty Ducks, Iceland is nice and Greenland is ice.
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember that from Mighty Ducks, but that's what I've heard of that,
yeah.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
My instinct when the president-elect has been talking about this for a few weeks now. My instinct is to wonder, okay, how does this personally benefit him? Because it must.
I don't know.
But buying Greenland must do something for him personally, because I just don't think... And sorry, this is me. I just don't believe he has the country's best interests in mind.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sure, it's going to benefit him. It might just benefit him in the sense that he gets to be the guy that bought Greenland.
He's going to open a hotel.
Well, I mean, he doesn't need to buy Greenland.
He's going to become a tourist attraction.
Yeah, he doesn't need to buy Greenland to open a hotel. I mean, maybe he just wants to have his name on it. Just like, I mean, Joe Biden won credit for pulling troops out of Afghanistan, and he's got it. But maybe Trump just wants his name on the Greenland purchase. And honestly, I like Greenland.
Okay.
Says the last time the United States peacefully purchased land was through the Gadsden Purchase in 1854. And they bought, which is now southern Arizona and southwestern New Mexico. That was the final major territorial acquisition within the contiguous United States. I don't know, I think Greenland should be a lot of fun. And then when you're, you know, that's the way you can give directions. When you're flying from the U.S. to London, you say, turn right at Greenland to get to London. And when you're flying from London, you turn left at Greenland. I guess you could still give directions that way.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I don't know if they need to buy a whole bit of land to be able to do that, but I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Did you see that some Blues games are going to end up on free TV?
So what's going on with that? They're going with Channel 4?
Yeah, so the Blues announced it today that they are going to shift one game in February, two in March are going from FanDuel Sports Network to KMOV. And sister station Matrix Midwest, which is Channel 32, and I don't know that I have ever heard of that.
I've never heard of Channel 32. Every now and then, when I turn on the terrestrial TV, primarily because I never plugged my TV in, and then when I did, I didn't have any streaming services. There's, like, Channel 4. I grew up with 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, 24, 30. Well, there's Channel 4, and there's Channel 4.1, 4.2, 4.3. There's all these other stations.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When did that happen?
I think it's where you find, like, MeTV and stuff, isn't it?
Probably.
On the point.
There's one station that I'm pretty sure exclusively plays Gunsmoke.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Grit TV.
What is it?
Grit TV.
Grit TV.
Grit? Yeah. Wow. That's what Pajeski watches. So there are three games that will happen in February, a couple in March. February 22nd, March 8th, and 25th, that'll be on the free TV. It's the first time since the 2008-2009 season they've been on free television when they were on Channel 11.
That's how I grew up watching Blues hockey.
That's right.
On Channel 11.
And some Cardinals baseball, too.
Yeah. Hey, he's Chris Ronji. I'm Amy Mark Scores. When we come back, David Kelly is going to join us. He's the AccuCensus Vice President of Government Solutions. What does that mean? Basically, AI traffic cameras could be watching you on the road, and they can tell if you're texting or if you're wearing a seatbelt. Big Brother's coming for us. That's next on the Chris and Amy Show.